met Reg probably last year. I'd heard about him way ahead of meeting him. His reputation precedes him oftentimes, and Reg is known in our city just as just a great man of God. And so when we asked if he'd come, he said yes. We were thrilled. Journey Canada is a ministry really close to our heart at Trinity. Many of us have been impacted personally by this ministry. We believe God's used this ministry powerfully in our city. And if you're not familiar with Journey Canada, Journey Canada works as a discipleship ministry for believers who are struggling in the area of relational or sexual brokenness. And so Journey Canada really does important work in helping address relational issues, address issues of sexuality, but also of identity, and just an amazing ministry in that regard. And Reg serves as both the director of Journey Canada in the central area of Canada, but also the program coordinator. He kind of has two hats, works very hard, and so I'm just going to pray for Reg. We ask Reg to come and inspire us for what the work that he's involved in the work we need to do in this area. And so Reg has also brought along Ed, a volunteer with the ministry, who's also here to share part of his testimony. So welcome here, Ed, as well. But let me pray. Lord, we thank you for Reg, and we thank you for Journey Canada. Lord, would you just pour your spirit on Reg as he shares with us. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts to hear all that you have for us today. And Lord, we pray that you would fill Reg with your spirit and that you would give him your mighty power and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Okay. Yeah, it's great to be here. I think one of the best parts of my job is that I get to go into a number of different churches and just be able to see who's there and see how you do church and how you worship. And it's just, yeah, I've been really blessed to be here today already. And I go to church just down the road at Nassau Street Church, so I'm often competing for parking with you guys. So we just switched our service to start at 10 o'clock as well. So we had two services. Now we have one, so it's going to be even harder to find parking around here. So, yeah, it's really, really great to be here. Like Brad said, I'm the director and program coordinator for Journey Canada here in the central part of the country. And so what I want to do today is just give you an update, or kind of a history or update of the ministry, how I came to the ministry, and also, but yeah, also to share a message of hopefully hope to inspire you and to challenge you of how we as a church and as individuals can interact with these issues of broken relationships and sexuality. So, but I know that a lot of you probably have a long history with this ministry. I know this church has had a long history with this ministry, but maybe some of you maybe don't know how I got here. And so I thought I'd just share that a little bit. We are Journey Canada, but we used to be called Living Waters Canada, if that rings any bells for you. If you go even farther back, we were New Direction for Life Ministries at one point. So a couple of name changes, but all the same ministry nonetheless. Probably, if you have that history, you probably know Ty Gammy, who's the original founding director. And he's actually stepped down as the executive director in about 2013, and his daughter, Raina, took over the position for a couple years. But then she became pregnant, she went on maternity leave, and so that's when I came in as the interim director in 2015. And so I've been the director for about the last 3 years now, and in that time, Raina has not come back, and Ty stepped down fully about the end of 2016 or so. And so it's me in the office right now with a part-time or casual bookkeeper who just helps out with some administrative things. So we've had a couple name changes over the last 27 years or so that we've been operating here, and a lot of staff shuffle in the last couple of years as well. But our mission, what we believe, what we do, that stayed the same throughout our history here in the city. And so what Journey Canada's mission is to help people find hope and live life through experiencing Jesus in their relationships, sexuality, and identity. And the way I like to describe what the ministry does is I like to ask the question, is who hasn't been hurt in one of these areas before? Who hasn't either steps outside of what God's boundaries are for sexuality and relationship, and or has had someone else step outside of those boundaries against them. So maybe talking about abuse or just other ways that boundaries have been crossed. And so when that happens, we carry hurt and pain. There's baggage that we carry with us. We may be believing lies about ourselves, our worth, who we are. We may develop certain coping mechanisms or certain behaviors or addictions. Some of those behaviors very clearly sinful, other ones can be more socially acceptable and so may go unnoticed. But yet we carry this hurt and this pain and this wounding, and God wants to do something with that. And so who really comes to our ministry for help? It really is anyone. It's women and men, it's pastors and lay leaders, professional people, students, married people, single people. It really is a place for anyone who wants to deepen their walk with Jesus and who desires cleansing and healing and forgiveness in their lives, especially in the areas of relationships and sexuality. And so people participate in our programs, and I'm going to talk about a couple of them. They come to address a wide range of personal experiences, anything from sexual abuse to addiction, anger problems to low self-esteem, sexual orientation or identity issues to divorce. And God meets them in all these places, and what he does is he brings healing and restoration, freedom and hope into people's lives. And so what each person comes with to our ministry might be different. The bottom line that we see time and time again is just that their greatest need is for Jesus, and to invite Jesus into those hurts and into that pain. And so they hear truth or there's lies, and they're loved by God and they're loved by others in places where they never thought they could be loved. And so just to highlight a couple programs that we do, we often, you know, we can't find a place to bring our deepest struggles in these areas to, and so we just hide our pain, we hide and just kind of deny this unresolved baggage that we have. We can go to so many places except the Lord to have these needs met, but we continue to come up empty and hurt and confused oftentimes. And so what Journey wants to provide is a safe and confidential place, non-judgmental place where people can share openly in a closed small group setting, and just be honest with the challenges and the real brokenness that they face. And we don't believe that it's about a quick fix, but it's about going on a journey with the Lord and just discovering what his healing and loving intentions are for someone's life. So just two programs I want to highlight is we have an introductory program called the Journey 101 program. And this is just an introductory look at healing, and it's aimed at helping individuals understand the issues that they're going to walk through in their journey. It helps people embrace the idea of process and how to move in the direction of where they can begin deeper healing work. It's just 6 sessions. There's teaching, stories, testimonies, and a small group time. It's not a very big commitment. It just allows a place for people to come and open up for the first time. And we're going to be offering this course in the fall. We have our Journey Discipleship course as well. This is our Living Waters program, what used to be called the Living Waters program, if that's maybe more familiar to people. It's 4 to 5 months long. And it's a more of a comprehensive course that incorporates prayer and just provides more in-depth discipleship and spiritual care with the goal of helping individuals experience Jesus in their relationships or sexuality or their identity. And so, like our other program, it has a time of worship and teaching and testimonies and then prayer in small groups, men with men, women with women. And this course also includes weekly reading assignments and a time for reflection and prayer as well. And so it's really for anyone who wants to just open up their life and who desires a deeper relationship with the Lord. So if you're dealing with things like unhealthy relationships, self-hatred, shame, sexual addiction, pornography, abuse, marital problems, orientation, identity issues, emotional dependencies, all those types of things, it's definitely a place for you to come, or if you know of someone. And we offer this course starting in January. So. We also offer support groups when there's need as well in the areas of sexual addiction, spousal infidelity, same-sex attraction, and these groups also meet on a regular basis for spiritual support, and they're available for individuals struggling in these areas or if they have family members who are struggling in these areas. And of course, the other side of our ministry, not just dealing with ministering to the individuals, is we want to be able to equip the church and also pastors and leaders into how to effectively and compassionately minister to people broken in these areas, in their relationships and sexuality. Like a lot of times, these issues can be very complex, or there's just an overwhelming need that can exist in these areas, and I think oftentimes pastors can feel either under-equipped or just overwhelmed with the ministry needs that are in this area, and so that's what we want to help out with and as Journey Canada, just be able to come alongside pastors and other leaders and help provide that pastoral care, whether that's pastors directly referring the people in their congregation to our programs or support groups, or by providing equipping events and training for them as well. And of course, we don't want to just do that with pastors, we want to do that for the whole church, to be able to better radically love and minister to people broken in their sexuality and their relationships. And so we do presentations in a lot of different places, like here, church services, small groups, Bible studies, summer camp staff at Bible camps, pastoral networking meetings, Christian colleges and schools, all those kinds of different places. So that is a kind of a snapshot of who we are as a ministry for those who don't know what we do exactly. Definitely come and talk to me after the service if you have any questions or want to connect on any sort of thing. I'd love to just talk with you more about what we do as a ministry. There's more that I do want to share with you. There's a message that I have that I want to encourage and challenge you. But before I do that, I thought just to speak to what this program does, what this ministry does, I thought it'd be a blessing and encouragement to hear a story of someone who's gone through Journeys programs and just hear about how God has changed his life. And so at this time, I'm going to invite up Ed just to share a bit about his testimony. Ed is, has gone through our programs, is also a volunteer in our ministry.
You guys hear me okay? Well, it's great to worship with you guys today in the Lord's presence. My name's Ed, and I'm going to share a short testimony. I've been happily married for 27 years, and we have two kids, both in their 20s, both living on their own. I've struggled with lust, pornography, and masturbation since I was a teen. Even though I never would have told anybody about it, I kind of thought it was a normal thing that guys would do. I gave my life to Christ when I was 18, and viewing sexual images, masturbation, seemed to war with my new inner man. I felt really guilty about it. When I married at age 28, my occasional behaviors had the added negative consequence of betraying my marriage covenant. So I felt even more horrible. I disclosed my struggles to my wife, who was compassionate, but also really deeply hurt. Each time it happened, I said, "That's the last time." I figured if I came clean with my wife, and just made a decision to stop doing it, that I could put viewing sexual images behind me. I certainly had good reasons, God, my conscience, my marriage, and two wonderful kids. But it kept coming around again. Many times I despaired that I wasn't able to do this on my own. When I came to Journey Canada and started participating in Journey's discipleship programs, God showed me several times and in several ways that only He could change this in me, that I couldn't do it on my own. Initially, it was awkward going to the Journey discipleship course because of why I was there. But that quickly changed into eagerly anticipating Tuesday nights as it became a rich time of meeting with God. I felt His Spirit right from the worship time through the teaching and testimony time into the small group, same-gendered small groups where leaders prayed for participants. The topics were pretty in-depth, covering areas such as abuse, forgiveness, wounds we can receive from our fathers or mothers, and brokenness in our masculine or feminine identities. Those are some of the areas kind of covered. I learned that wounds and unmet needs were driving some of my own sexual and relational issues. God showed me some steps that I needed to take, and as always, how He Himself was the solution and the answer to my problem. But more than that, I felt embraced by God. Embraced and encouraged by God in the teaching content and the words and pictures that leaders received as they prayed for me. It really improved my relationship with God. I'm still on a journey with God in all of this, and I'm learning that He is my righteousness, that He is my strength, and that He really, really loves me. I have hope.
Thanks, Ed. That was great. For myself as well, I've been the director and program coordinator for the Winnipeg area here the last 3 years. I first came to this ministry about 14 years or so ago as a client to get help that I needed. The reason I reached out to the ministry, and I think, you know, as I God revealed things, there was a lot of different things that I needed to deal with when I came, but some of the strong things that were coming up for me was, and that brought me to reach out for help, was just deep insecurity in my gender, my sense of masculinity, so not feeling that I measured up as a man or that I didn't fit the definition of masculinity that was shown to me growing up. I had a hidden addiction to pornography, someone who experienced a same-sex attraction. It had a lot of self-hatred and shame and inability to accept myself because of the sexual sin and the struggles and the temptations that I was experiencing. And I was hiding all of this because I didn't think that anyone could ever know anything of this about me. And so I felt very stuck because I didn't think that there was any place to go with all this. No one was talking about sexual and relational struggles, not in my family, in my church, in my community. And so I thought that I was all alone. And the shame I was hiding kept me from reaching out as well. And so there was no way out, or so I thought. So when I found Journey Canada, when I found this ministry, what I really found was sanctuary. People understood what I was going through, and they also knew how to help me. And there was people dealing with other areas of sexual and relational brokenness as well. And what I found is we were just all on this journey of just surrendering our broken relationships, our sexuality, our identity to Jesus, and we were looking to Him to heal us and restore us, and just live life beyond all this as well. And so essentially what happened for me is God showed me that I wasn't alone, and He brought me out of the isolation that I was in. All those things that I was hiding, insecurity in my gender, my masculinity, my same-sex attraction, pornography, addiction, those are things I can actually bring to God and the body of Christ. And that was revolutionary for me, because I didn't think, you know, my head was not in that space at all. So just the revelation of that and the practice of actually doing that, of bringing the stuff that I didn't think I could bring to God, bringing the stuff that I didn't think I could bring to other people, like I said, that was revolutionary for me. And it melted just so much shame off of me. I had less and less secrets and more hope. And God isn't finished with me yet. He continues to take me deeper into areas that He's already met me in. God's melting off more layers of shame just as I learn about who I am in Christ, my identity, my position in Him. And He's helping me put aside these false definitions of masculinity that I might have got from my family or just the culture around me. And He's teaching me His definition of masculinity, and He's growing and securing me in that rather than what I might have believed before. And so for the last about 14 years now, I've been on this journey of just reconciling my sexuality with and my identity to what God intends for me. And I really believe that God wants to do that in everyone's life, where there's sin and brokenness in our relationships and our sexuality. And so as a ministry director, it's a privilege to be able to use my personal story and everything that I've learned along the way to help and educate the church in these areas. The cultural landscape in terms of sexuality and identity has changed a lot since this ministry began over 25 years ago. Even in the last 10 years, or even 3 to 5 years, there's been a really significant shift in the way that our society views sex, or what it is and what we expect out of it. God designed sex to be experienced between one man and one woman in a covenant marriage for life. And yet, in our recent history, we've really reduced it to just basically meeting a physical need. So it's kind of just me seeking after my own pleasure. Committed marriage in our culture has largely been downplayed in our society. It can be good, sure, but it's not needed. It's kind of the attitude. The boundaries where sex can be experienced have been blown wide open. So not only has marriage become unnecessary to experience sexual relationship, but even relationship is not really needed now. Sex has become more about and primarily about just a physical experience. And now with a large increase of easily accessible pornography, now even other people are not necessary for someone pursuing a physical sexual fulfillment. So in so many ways, we've reduced sex and relationship, if there even is a relationship at all, just to meeting our own physical need. There's also been a significant cultural shift in how we view gender, sexual orientation, and identity. People are looking a lot to their sexual attractions to define themselves, to find and create their identity. People are wrestling with their gender, whether they're male or female. And these are all real struggles and dilemmas. I don't want to minimize people's experiences in these areas. I'm someone who wrestles and struggles with this, so I know how hard it can be. But yet, attractions, or perhaps how we feel about ourselves, are increasingly no longer how we are, but who we are. That's what our culture is telling us. And God designed sex to be experienced between one man and one woman in a committed marriage where the husband and wife look not just, don't connect just on the physical level, but on an emotional and spiritual level as well. God designed sex to include bonding, pleasure, procreation, creating new life beyond ourselves, looking outward, not looking inward. Yet more and more it seems like the cultural values for sex and relationships are drifting in the opposite direction of traditional Christian beliefs and values. And so why do I say all this? I'm sure it's concerning, it's unfortunate, it can be depressing when we see what's going on in our world and how we're looking at sex and how we're treating it. But what I want to actually do is share a message of hope and challenge us as a church. I hope I'll be able to encourage and inspire you, because despite what's happening in our culture and all around us, we as Christians have the truth. And I think we really need to believe that. We believe in the God who created and designed sex and relationship, and so he knows how best to do it, how we need to steward that. He knows how to put us back together, whether we're inside of the church or outside the church. He knows how to put us back together when we've stepped outside of those boundaries, or when other people have stepped outside of those boundaries against us. We can really be confused and overwhelmed, or scared or unsure of what we see around us. But actually, I think this is really a great opportunity for the church to be the church. This cultural climate can be a redemptive time to make room for all the hurting people who have gone about doing sex and relationship the world's way, and that they're looking for something different. They're looking for a place to heal and to find real hope, real freedom, community, healing, relationship, all of those things. And that's what I think the church can really be and needs to be in this time. And so how can we do this? That's what I want to talk about today. How can we prepare to welcome new people into our church? How can we minister and support and walk alongside people wrestling with issues in their relationships, sexuality, and identity? While, of course, still staying true to God's clear boundaries about sexual expression, that sex is only supposed to happen in a covenant heterosexual marriage for life. So I want to just offer a few thoughts on this in the time that I have left. I'm taking a lot of this just from a larger teaching that we do, like pastoral equipping seminars that we do. So I'm going to just scratch the surface a little bit, or I kind of plucked some things out. And this is just a lot also of what things that work for me and what I've seen work for other people as well. You know, I used to think that the church couldn't help me at all. You know, I had to go outside the church to deal with all this. What God showed me is actually the church is the only place that I can deal with this stuff. And so I really want to, my passion is to really, have the church be a welcoming and redemptive place for everyone, no matter what your sin struggle is. But, you know, on my heart with sexual and relational issues, I really want us to do well as a church. And so I want to just offer some things along those lines. And as I was preparing this, the words preparing and positioning just came to mind a lot. I really think it's about preparing and positioning ourselves and as individuals, but also as a church. I believe it's really necessary that the church provides a strong message and an alternative option to the world's message about sexuality and the options that the world presents for stewarding our sexuality. So one that's centered in Christ's unconditional love and acceptance, grace and forgiveness, but still holds true to the traditional Christian sexual ethic, and where the church is seen as a welcoming place, where everyone, no matter what their struggle is, they can walk out their journey of being made more like Christ. So on an individual level, I believe what preparing and positioning looks like is simply making sure that each of us, as individual Christians, is on a road to greater relational and sexual wholeness, that we're getting the help we need to heal from the ways that we've stepped outside of God's boundaries for sex and relationship, or like I said, how if others have stepped outside those boundaries against us. As we're more whole and healed in these areas ourselves, we're going to be able to better relate and help others. Our testimony and our ongoing healing journey can be so powerful. And from that humble place, God can use us in mighty ways and to reach out to others. Our story of healing impacts those around us, people inside the church and outside the church. And actually, one of the top three ways that people find out about our ministry and come to take our programs for themselves is because they've heard the story of a friend, or they've seen a change in a friend or family member that they have, or someone in their church. And so Journey really is a ministry for the church. The more relationally and sexually whole the church is, the more attractive and welcoming we're going to be for those who come to realize that the world's way of doing relationships and sex isn't actually meeting their needs, isn't sufficiently meeting their needs, or in meeting their needs in counterfeit ways, these needs for love, belonging, acceptance, and community. And those needs are more rightly and deeply met in relationship with God and His body of believers. And even if sexual relationship is not your vulnerability or your main sin problem, what you struggle with, I think this principle still applies. So I would encourage you, no matter who you are, what you're struggling with, are you pressing into the Lord and getting the help and support you need in the areas of your weakness and vulnerability to become more whole and become more Christ-like? I think as we all step out in this way, inviting Jesus and trusted Christian brothers and sisters around us into our areas of sin, brokenness, our secrets, our shame, as they come in to support us and walk with us, it impacts and creates a culture in the church that's better prepared and positioned to welcome in new people and support and disciple them, no matter what their particular sin struggles are. In other churches that I've spoken in the past, I'll sometimes talk about this notion of cultivating a broken church culture, and it's just a term that I made up. But by cultivating what I call a broken church culture, I don't mean that we wallow in our sin or in our brokenness and embrace it and call it all okay. What I mean is that we cultivate an environment in our churches where struggling with sin and brokenness is okay, it's normal, and it's expected. So perhaps especially for people who struggle in the areas of broken relationships, sexuality, and identity, you can feel like your struggles are seen as worse than others, and it can be difficult to find a place where you can be real and really feel safe to share. I know that was my experience personally, and I hear it a lot in my office too when people come to the ministry. People feel alone and they don't know where they can turn, a lot of times even in their church family. And that's why I believe cultivating this idea of a broken church culture is important, because it's a posture that the church can work towards. It's how we can prepare and position ourselves as a church. So I want to just highlight a couple main ways that I believe we can do this and start cultivating this culture in our church. One big way is just normalizing but not justifying common human struggle in the areas of relationship and sexuality. So normalizing but not justifying common human struggle in the areas of relationship and sexuality. Oftentimes sexual sins, and I think maybe this is just a personal thing for me, but I think in our culture, the issue of homosexuality, it's really been disproportionately focused on in society and the church sometimes when it comes to talking about the areas of sexual and relational sin and brokenness. And we focus on these, the neglect of maybe more common or equally sinful and destructive sin and brokenness, or sexual sin is just seen as worse a lot of the time. And what this does is this can fuel the world's view of the church, you know, accusing us of we're picking on certain groups of people, we're being judgmental. It can hurt us as a church, you know, looking bad, looking judgmental, failing to shine a light on our own brokenness and the things that we struggle with. Yet Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the ground is really level at the foot of the cross. And while one sin maybe can have more severe consequences than another, it's we humans who often make one expression of sin or brokenness worse than another one. But to God, we're all equally sinners, but we're also equally righteous because of His Son's sacrifice for us. A passage that I think really speaks well to this is 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. So I'm just going to read that. Probably a familiar one to a lot of you. It says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I love this passage because I think it gives a really good picture of what the early church looked like, kind of what the makeup of the church was like. There was all these different types of sin and brokenness that people were bringing with them when they joined the church. Idolaters, adulterers, homosexual practice. There was thieves, drunks, and cheaters. But they were all washed, they were all sanctified, and they were justified in the name of Jesus. So no matter what they were struggling with, the church was a place to encounter Jesus in those places and to be on a supportive journey with others, walking that same road. And so what I always like to just challenge myself, challenge churches, is what if our churches had that reputation more and more, that we were a culture of vulnerability and transformation and discipleship. That doesn't necessarily mean you come up here and share your deep, dark secrets like you've seen today, but it's more a question of, I mean, it could involve that, but are we willing to be known to a few people? Are we willing to be known to enough people so that we can get the love and support and accountability and encouragement that we need to lead a godly life according to how the scriptures tells us to live? Can we do that so we can be an example to others so that they also feel safe enough to be vulnerable and start to deal with whatever their stuff is? Can we humble ourselves and admit and own whatever our big sin struggles are, whether they're sexual or not sexual? What if more and more of the reputations of our churches was, Trinity Baptist is just a bunch of messed up people, but have you heard what God is doing there? Have you heard how he's changing lives and people are different, how people are getting set free? I think that's such a beautiful thing. I think if that's the case, what a perfect place and what a beacon of life and hope the church could be for those struggling in their sexuality and who do want something other than a certain identity or a way of living that the world is telling them that they have to follow. I think we all naturally look for and we want love, acceptance, belonging, and community and identity. And we can look for those things in so many places except in the Lord. And it's how much more unfortunate if we can't find them in the church. This is why I think that God has given us this tremendous opportunity in all that is going on in our culture right now, surrounding sexuality and identity. And so cultivating this broken church culture can help normalize this human struggle no matter what we're bringing. Several years ago, I started attending this church where there was just a time of worship and people could go up to speak, just maybe say what gives a short testimony about what God had done in their lives. And this man went up and just started talking about his pornography addiction, how God had freed him from that. And I just kind of, that was the first time that I had ever heard that in a church. And I kind of just took a step back. And this was at a time when there was so much shame. This is what I was struggling with too. But I just thought, well, I could never actually say that to anyone, or I could never say that in front of a group of people. But that just, I mean, I'll never forget it. I can still see him up there. It just struck such a chord in me because I thought, okay, like I can, maybe this is a safe place. Like, I wasn't ready to do that yet, but I was like, okay, this is a church where they understand that, where they can admit these things. As I kept attending the church, I realized this was an elder of the church. And so I thought, wow, like this guy has really been on this journey and this process to the point where, just God has done so much in his life. And I just thought that was just spoke to me so mightily and so personally. That's just something I wasn't used to. Another way I think we can cultivate this culture in our churches is just by challenging ourselves to see believers sorting out their sexuality or their identity questions as our people, so part of our faith community. Personally, for me, when I was growing up and as a teenager, it never even dawned on me that I could go to my church or someone in my church to talk about what was going on, specifically my same-sex attraction at that time. And that's not to bash or put down the church that I was in growing up or any churches that I've been in since. I know that's not, wasn't their intention at all. But yeah, I felt that I had to take care of this problem or this thing first before I could really feel that I belonged or I was welcome in the church community, in the faith community. My church didn't show me that there was a place where I could share and walk this out. And so I was forced, in a sense, outside of the church. Thankfully, the place that I landed was Journey Canada. And yes, in a sense, that was outside of my church. But as you know, if you've done any journey program before, is that our goal is to always have you walk with your local body of believers as much as possible and actually press into your local church body more, especially once our programs are over, just in order to be able to keep on that healing journey and to continue to find support. I'll give you another personal example of how this really impacted me in my life. Like I said, I attend Nassau Street Church just a block down the road here, and my first exposure to that church was I applied to be the house manager for, I don't know if you guys know, they operate a halfway house for men coming out of addictions called the Barnabas House. And I wasn't going to the church, but I had a friend who suggested, oh, this might be something you'd be interested in. So I applied for the job. They were looking for a new house manager or mentor. And I applied, and so I met with this ministry team. It was a group of men who oversee this ministry there. And, you know, they were sort of just asking, like, well, what would sort of attract you to this job? What do you know about addiction? And so I don't have a drug or alcohol addiction pass. So I was vulnerable, and I talked about my pornography addiction, how I walked a road through that, and just as a way to be able to relate to the guys in the house. But yet after that meeting, there's just something that didn't feel right. It felt like I was being deceptive, or I needed to tell more of the story. I felt that I needed to share the same-sex attraction because I didn't know this church at all. I didn't know where they stood, what they felt about it. I thought, well, maybe they're probably pretty conservative, but are they really, really conservative? They wouldn't even want me there at all. And so I was like, I just felt like I had to talk to them about it. So I just called up the pastor. I met with him personally, and I just admitted kind of more of my story and what was going on with me. And just so I thought, you know, if it's going to be a deal breaker and they don't want me there, it's fine. I can just go my way. Just the pastor needs to know this. It'll be fine. It's not a church I was attending at that time, so I could just make a clean break. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. It wasn't a deal breaker for the pastor when I told him, but he encouraged me to come and just have another meeting with the whole ministry team and be more open and talk what was really going on. So we had another meeting with the team, and sure enough, it continued to not be a deal breaker, and they still welcomed me in. They still wanted me to be a ministry leader in their church, still accepted to me. There was still a place for me. There was a place for me. I was known. The church saw me, someone struggling with same-sex attraction, as their people. So just sort of in conclusion, I'll need to wrap things up, but one thing I wanted to just share as well, one of the most, in my position, one of the most frequent questions or concerns that people in churches in general come to me with, come to our ministry with on more of a national level as well, is just this tension of desiring to love and welcome and help sexually and relationally broken people, but just not knowing how to go about it. It can be such a sensitive issue. It's a politically charged topic in our culture right now. It can be awkward to talk about these things. It can trigger our own shame if we grew up in environments where talking about sexuality was taboo or shameful. And the other thing is that there is no set formula to follow when it comes to relationships and walking alongside others. Every person is different. Every relationship is going to have different dynamics. But in closing, though, I just wanted to offer a couple of suggestions, maybe some postures to take, put some tools in your toolbox, so to speak, that can help with this tension. So just going to list some off. I believe that what we've already talked about today, just as far as each of us working ourselves, becoming more whole in our relationships or our sexuality or whatever our big sin struggles are, and also by cultivating this broken church culture. I think that's naturally going to relieve some of this tension and change our hearts even more, that we're going to want to welcome people in more, and others are going to feel that welcome as well. And so, Lord willing, just as God does bring more people to our doors, I want to just share a few ways that we can be safe people and help foster an environment, a safe and welcoming environment. So one is just being aware of prejudices that we might have. It's kind of just doing that, checking in with yourself. Do we create a hierarchy of sin in our own mind or our heart, seeing some sins as worse than others? Do we overlook some forms of sin and brokenness and not others? We need to be careful about saying critical or judgmental things around others. You never know who is listening. People will conclude whether or not it's a safe place based on the comments and attitudes that they hear around them. And then if God does give us the opportunity to walk with and support someone seeking to change their life, seeking to heal, seeking to honor God and obey God in their relationships and sexuality and submit that part of their lives to Him, like I said, there's no set formula, but I think the best thing that we can do when we're starting a relationship with someone is just letting someone tell their story. Sure, you really want to care and you really want to understand. Get to know people's experiences. Ask a lot of questions. When someone comes to you about deep areas of sexual and relational brokenness that they might have, while it's the first time that you're hearing about it, this is something that they've likely been living their whole life. And so it's really just a matter of needing to catch up with people, catch up with their story and learn of more of their full experience and really feel that person's been listened to. You know, not trying to rush to help or to fix or to put in certain boxes or anything like that, but just hear what someone's unique experience and story is. I think there's a lot of healing in that, and just letting someone tell their story. I can tell that for me personally. Every time that I'm able to share, and I think especially in the beginning, every time that I was able to share with someone, just another layer of shame came off, and God's voice in my life and what truth that He wanted to show me, truth that couldn't get in because of all the shame that I was struggling with, and just feeling so alone when I didn't have that shame anymore so much. And when I knew there was other people in my corner, it just helped even for the Word of God to come in and change my heart. And always we can direct people to God and His original intention for someone's sexuality and identity. I don't have all the answers or know what the road's going to look like for each person to surrender to the Lord, their sexuality, maybe their sexual attractions or their confusion about their gender. But I know and can trust that God knows. And so what we can do is always just point someone to God and stand with them and walk alongside them as God reveals how He wants to heal and restore them. So that's what I have, but I'd like to pray if we could do that. Father, I thank You so much for today, and I just thank You that You are such a good God. You're such a gentle God and compassionate God, and You have so much for us. We would just come to You and keep coming to You. And Father, I thank You for the work that You've done in my life in this area, the work You've done in Ed's life, and I know in so many others, and just the desire You have for truth and for love and for freedom in these areas of sexuality and relationships and identity, Lord, when we're living in a world that seems so contrary to what you have for us in this. And so, Lord, I just pray that You would help all of us here, Father, with You in our own areas where we need to submit things to You, Lord, where there's shame, where there's hiding, Father, would You just come and love us in those areas? Would You come and bring people alongside us, Lord? And Father, as a church as well, I pray for this church, Lord, if there's whatever You want to do in this area, welcoming people in, maybe people who have these pasts and backgrounds, Father, Lord, would You just help them to be love? I just pray for your love to just work and just shine through them. Father, Your love, but also Your truth and Your intention for someone's sexuality, for their how You want them to do relationship, Father. Would You just strengthen them and give them wisdom, Lord, whatever You want to do in this church, in this area, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, definitely come and talk to me after the service. You want to chat more about the ministry as well.
Thank you, Reg. Well, we're going to transition into a ministry time. Some of you need to go, and so I'm going to release those who need to go today with a blessing. But we, the area of sexuality is such an important part of our lives. It's a powerful part of our lives, and we talk about it far too little, and we spend too little time praying for one another in these areas. It wouldn't be right if I just blessed you without giving an opportunity for us to respond in the ways that we need to. And so I just want to encourage you to respond today. As Red shared, perhaps there's an area of relational brokenness in your life where this isn't all about sex. Sometimes there's relational brokenness, and And it's a part of our sexuality, how we relate to one another. And so if there's an area of relational brokenness that you want prayer in, come. We're going to open up the front for prayer. If there's an area of sexual brokenness, something you've been battling through, and the word I got as Reg was sharing, I heard the word, I don't know, it kept sticking out to me, but alone, how you felt alone. And I just feel like there are many among us who might be feeling alone in a battle, and you need to confidentially and appropriately share it with somebody. So we're going to ask Sam to come, and he's going to play guitar and sing a song. Just Sam, come on up. And Kenny and Paul, if you could come up. Reg and Ed, if you could come up. Michelle, if you could come up. And we'll just have three prayer stations. And after I bless and release you, if you want to just come and just share where you're at and what you're going through and receive prayer, that'd be fantastic. We'd love to pray with you. And I think if I could just ask, though, if somebody's receiving prayer and you're waiting, just give them lots of space, because that's an area of deep vulnerability. So give a nice big personal bubble around them. So can we stand together? So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. There's coffee downstairs. Feel free to join others downstairs if you like. If you would like to come and receive prayer, you can do so now.